This year we are going through our core values, and we're taking a sermon series per core value as we venture through these. Our core values can be found on our website. If you go to our website, it looks like this. Oh, get Wayne again. So we're forward. There we go. So that's what it looks like. So if you go to the About Us page, you can go to the mission, core values, and vision. So you can read our core values there. Also, at the information center out there, just to remind you guys, we have half sheets of our core values with the key scriptures. And then we've also got a brochure, trifold version of our core values and our new mission statement. And these and the website have the additional scriptures. The handout just has the key scriptures that are chosen for each of those. These core values, they are super, super important, and we spent a lot of time on them because we knew how important these core values would be to our church. That these core values should shape our focus, that they should remind us of what's important here at Miami Town. That these core values should inspire us to step up in our personal faith, and not just in our personal faith, but our faith collectively as a church body together, that we would be stepping up in our faith. That we would come to our times of worship, and our question in our heart would be, what can I bring to worship? What can I offer to God instead of what can I get from worship or what was pleasing or displeasing to me today? That every time God's word is open, that our goal and our expectation is that we will be equipped, better equipped for the mission that we've been called to as a church by Jesus himself. That our view of fellowship would go deeper than just fun. And we had a great time, Blacklight Bowling. That was a lot of fun. And we're going to have fun later this afternoon at our cookout. But that our fellowship would go deeper than that. That our fellowship would involve challenging and encouraging each other. Because we've grown into relationships where we can do that. Where we can move each other to personal growth and involvement in the kingdom. That we would actively invest in the kingdom. Not just with our money, but with our time, with our talents, that we would actively invest with action, involvement, and teamwork, that we would be involved in personally sharing Jesus with those around us, not just sharing about our church, but sharing about the reason for the church, that we'd be sharing Jesus with those around us. That we would have an unyielding commitment to God because we both fear and love him. Earlier this year, we focused on our first core value, which is God is first in all things. Following him is the priority. That's our first core value. That was God's first core value in the Ten Commandments. That's what Jesus said is first. And so that's our first core value. So in this series, we are moving on to our second core value, and we'll be spending the remainder of June in our second core value. Our second core value is devoted to God, a full dependence on him, and a complete abandonment of self. In the video we just watched, the members from the underground church in China exemplified this, did they not? We can learn a lot. That's not just the early days of the church and reading in the book of Acts about Paul. That's today. That's happening today. Devoted to God, a full dependence on him, and a complete abandonment of self. I mentioned that we have these core values come from a number of different scriptures and principles throughout the Bible. But each core value has a central, singular, focused key scripture that goes along with it. The key scripture that goes along with this core value is Matthew 16, 24. It says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. That's Jesus' definition of the level of devotion that he expects from his followers. This isn't just the top rank. This isn't just the best of the best. This is what he expects of all of his followers. That level of devotion is a choice. Devoted choice. That's what today's message is called. We see this choice of devotion to God illustrated by many men and women throughout the Bible. One famous passage where we see this choice being brought up is a passage when Joshua is addressing the Israelites just before his death. Joshua knows his time is near, and so in the second to last chapter in Joshua 23, we read that Joshua gathered, summoned all of Israel together, all of the elders, all the leaders, the judges, the officials, to give them his last words of leadership. And he begins by saying, "I am very old." And then he goes on to tell them to be strong, to be careful, to obey God's law. He goes on to remind them that all of what God had done for them, that God had given them the land that they were now enjoying. This was after a time of peace that they got a chance to enjoy. And though they fought in the battles, they were not the reason that they were in the land flowing with milk and honey. That they couldn't forget that it was God who led them there. It was God who gave them the victory. It was when they placed their dependence on God that God came through. When they pulled their dependence onto themselves, God let them fall. But when they gave a complete abandonment of self and a complete dependence on God, those were the battles when they were successful. And Joshua reminds them of this, that it was God who gave them this victory. It was God who made good on his promise. That they were to remember that the only reason that they were where they were was because of this full dependence on God and a complete abandonment of self that's devoted to God. Joshua then says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose..." Everyone say choose. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in the land that you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Realizing what God has done for you has only one conclusion, and that is to choose to serve him above all else. Let's write this down. Devotion is choosing exclusive allegiance to God. Exclusive allegiance to God. Joshua tells them to be strong, to be careful, to follow God's law. God's law that starts off by saying, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You will not make for yourself any idols. You will not bow down and worship them, because God is a jealous God." God has been very clear throughout Scripture that he does not share his people with other objects of worship. God expects our exclusive allegiance. Joshua says to the Israelites, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." It's a choice. Our exclusive allegiance is a choice. It's as simple as that. It's as difficult as that. Choices are not always easy, even though it's easy to understand. But that's what it is. A devotion to God means making this choice for ourselves. Joshua sets the example by saying, "As for me and my house, we're going to choose to serve the Lord." Devotion is a choice. Joshua reminds them of all that God has done for them. And this is to strengthen this choice, to inspire this choice, to solidify this choice, to substantiate this choice. Going all the way back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the story of how Israel was birthed and brought into being able to see the promised land. Going on to Moses and the exodus out of Egypt and all that they experienced and saw in that. And then going to the most recent events of how they took the land, how God went before them and all of the battles as they entered into the promised land. And now they are where they have been experiencing the promised land. And so we would be very good to ourselves if we would ask ourselves this question to keep us on focus. And that question simply is, do I regularly reflect Do I regularly reflect on all that he has done for me? Because when you do, there's no question who deserves our exclusive allegiance. There's no question who deserves it. Choosing God means to choose to let go of other gods. Joshua warns Israel that there will be many opportunities to turn to other gods, but they will become snares and traps, and they will jeopardize the blessings of God. See, when we turn to other gods, we set ourselves up against God's plan. When we set ourselves up against God's plan, we set ourselves up against God's promise, and we set ourselves up against God's promise, we set ourselves against God's blessings. God will give you what you want. If you choose to not have him as number one, then he will step back. Church, you don't want that. None of us wants that. Because we choose our allegiance. We choose our allegiance to other gods, or we choose our allegiance to one God. And there's a lot out there. Let's write this down. Do I release my hold on other gods and resist their hold on me? So as we consider this idea of exclusive allegiance to God, this idea of choosing devotion, this is another good reflection question to ask ourselves on a regular basis. Because there are many gods out there. There are many things that bid for our devotion, many things that put for us to put our trust in, to put our reliance on, to put our security in. There are many other ambitions out there. Many things that will serve, as Joshua said, that would serve as snares and traps. So we should ask ourselves regularly, do I release my hold on other gods? And do I resist their hold on me? And this will help us to put our exclusive allegiance in God and God alone. Devotion is choosing to follow Christ even when it's not popular or easy. Let's write that down. Devotion is choosing to follow Christ even when it's not popular or easy. In the Old Testament, we see great examples of this in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. All very good examples of what it looks like to be devoted to God when it's not popular, when it's not easy. Daniel chose devotion to God. He continued to pray even when it was made against the law. And he found himself in a den of hungry lions because of it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down and worship an idol. They choose devotion to God. They choose exclusive allegiance to him. And they found themselves thrown into the fiery furnace because of it. They chose devotion to God even when it wasn't popular or easy. We see this in the New Testament as well. In John chapter 6, we see the great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And soon after, we find Jesus turning that big, huge miracle into a teaching moment. Teaching that he is the bread of life, that he has come down from heaven, come down from the Father, been sent from the Father, down to earth as the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna. Jesus says, I'm a bigger miracle than the manna. You ate off a little boy's lunch. 5,000 were fed and you had your tummies full, but I'm bringing you the bread of life, the bread of eternal life. And this stirred the crowd up and they began to grumble, but Jesus wasn't done yet. He says, not only did he come from the Father, but he saw the Father. And that was a huge no-no. No one ever saw God. But Jesus turns the heat up a little and he says, you know, I didn't just come down from heaven, but I was there with God. I saw God. And on hearing this, many turned back and no longer followed Jesus. So Jesus turns to the 12 disciples and he asks them, do you not want to leave? You do not want to leave too, do you? And we see in chapter 6, verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter speaks these words at a time when it was not popular to follow Jesus. Jesus says, what about you? I've seen what these other people have chosen today, but what about you? What do you choose? Peter says, I choose you. I choose you. And then he gives a number of reasons that serve for great reflection questions for us as we desire to choose Jesus, even when it's not popular, even when it's not easy. And, you know, we're not an underground church in China yet, and I completely agree with him. We would learn a lot from some persecution. And that would separate out the real worshipers from the face. What about you? Who do you choose? Peter gives a number of responses, or a number of reasons in his response. And so we can use these reasons as reflection questions. The first one, am I truly convinced that there is no one greater than Christ? Am I truly convinced that there is no one greater than Christ? That will determine your choice. If you feel that there is someone or something greater to put your faith in, to trust in, to depend on, then you will choose to be devoted to that person or thing. Regardless of what you say on a Sunday morning or what you say in Sunday school or what you might say to your Christian friend or your husband or your wife or your children, the reality is what you view as of greater value is what you're going to put your faith in. That's where your devotion is going to lie. And if you are truly convinced that there is no one greater than Christ, then you will choose devotion regardless if it's easy or if it's difficult, if the masses are doing it, or if you are the only one. Another question we can ask ourselves based on Peter's response is, do I truly understand that there is no other person, place, or thing to turn to? Peter says, To whom shall we go? Where are we going to turn? Who else are we going to turn to? You are the one with the words of eternal life. Peter states there is no other person. There's no other place or thing. There's nothing else that we can turn to. Do I truly understand that? Because that's the reality. No one else has the words of eternal life, which is another good question to ask ourselves. Do I truly believe that he alone, let's write that down, he alone, because that's the important part. He alone has the words of eternal life, because if we believe that Jesus is a way and not the way, then we have no reason to have this exclusive devotion to him. If we truly believe that Jesus and Jesus alone has the words of eternal life, then that's a game changer. You know, many people call themselves Christians, but they don't act like they truly believe that Jesus is the only way. Because when you believe that there's no other way to the Father except through Jesus, that's exactly what Jesus said, is it not? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, when you truly believe that he alone has the words of eternal life, then you'll be devoted to him no matter what. Peter says, we've come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. So let's write that down. That's a good reflection question. Do I truly know that he is the Holy One of God? Am I truly convinced of that? Do I truly know that? I mean, know that. Not just something where we can recite it back, not just something where we can say the right words or we say something to deceive ourselves, but really in the depths of your soul, in who you are, in the core of your being, that is something you know. That you know that Jesus really is who he said he was. Not just a good moral teacher. Not just an amazing miracle worker. Not just a prophet. But that he truly is the Holy One of God. Only when we realize the importance of Christ will we choose him over anything else. Devotion is a choice. But Peter lays it out plainly in just a few words that if you really believe who Jesus is, where he came from, and what he promises, then is there really a choice to be made? If you really believe that, to whom shall we go? We don't have anyone else to go to. You are the one with the words of eternal life. We believe, we know that you are the Holy One of God. So devotion is choosing exclusive allegiance to God. Devotion is choosing to follow Christ even when it's not popular or easy. And devotion is the result of consistently choosing faith and obedience. Let's write that down. Here we go. Devotion is the result of consistently choosing faith and obedience. Consistently choosing faith and obedience. Consistent. Okay. Consistently choosing faith and obedience. Abraham gives us a great example of what this looks like. In Genesis chapter 12, God tells Abraham, who at that time he was called Abram, tells him to pack up his stuff and go to a land that he will show him. Just pack and go. I'm not going to tell you where you're going. I'm just going to point you in a direction. I'll show you where you're going to go. It's crazy. And Abraham was well established. He wasn't just some little, he wasn't just sitting there in a tent and a campfire. He was already wealthy, and he was what, 75 years old? I should have reviewed my notes there on that. 99% sure that it was 75 when he started that. In verse 1 of chapter 12 is where God tells him to go, and in verse 4 we read, so Abraham went. It didn't take long. Abraham chose faith and obedience. Skip forward a few chapters to Genesis chapter 15. God promises to bless Abraham with a son. Still Abram at that time, sorry. Abram with a son, even though he and his wife could not have children. And more than this, God even takes Abram outside. And we read this in verse 5. He says, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Not just a son. He's like, look at the stars, count them if you can. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Not just one son, but he wouldn't even be able to count his offspring. That's the size of the blessing. And once again, Abraham chooses faith and obedience. Genesis chapter 17, God shares the covenant that he is making with Abram. And this is when he changes his name from Abram to Abraham. And this covenant is where God enters into this agreement with Abraham that he will bless him and he will make him the father of many nations, that God will make him very fruitful, and then he will give him the whole land of Canaan. That's God's part. Now for Abraham's part. This was the covenant of circumcision. That was Abraham's part. That Abraham and all of his descendants after him would be circumcised. And so we read in verse 24. Abraham was, 99 years old when he was circumcised. I'm just going to leave that there. But let me reiterate, he chose faith and obedience yet again. Skip forward a few more chapters, chapter 22. This is after Abraham and Sarah have their son, the son of the promise, little Isaac. And God comes to Abraham and he asks him now to sacrifice his son, the son of the promise, his one and only son. And we are told that it was the very next morning, just like in chapter 12, where God says, go. And a few verses later, we're reading, Abraham packed and went. God comes to him and gives him this task. And the very next morning, he packs up. He loads his donkey. He heads off with Isaac and two of his servants. And on their third day of travel, Abraham says to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship. By the way, that's the first time that word shows up in our Bible. Right here. Talk about changing your view of worship. Worship is a sacrifice. Worship is bringing. Worship is giving. It's not getting. It's not leaving and complaining because it didn't suit what you felt like it should. Sacrifice is coming. Or worship is sacrifice. It's coming to sacrifice. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Do you see the faith in that statement? We. Abraham doesn't have a mouse in his pocket. He has faith that somehow Isaac is going to return with him. Once they'd reached the place that God had told Abraham about, he built an altar and arranged the wood on it. He tied his son Isaac up. I couldn't imagine. He laid him on top of the altar, on top of the wood. Then we read in verse 10, then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And then we're told that Abraham turns and sees a ram caught in the thicket, his thorns caught in this bush. And so he sacrificed the ram instead of his son. See, earlier on their way up, Isaac had asked, where's the sacrifice? We have the wood. We have everything needed for the sacrifice except for the sacrifice. And God said, or Abraham said, the Lord will provide the sacrifice. Later in the New Testament, we read in Hebrews that Abraham's reasoning was that even if God didn't provide the sacrifice, that God would raise Isaac from the dead because he was the son of the promise. Those are the two thoughts that we get. I can only imagine as a father how many thoughts were going through Abraham's mind as they walked and left and walked alone. But church, the two we are given are based in faith and obedience. God will provide the sacrifice. That's faith. And he was walking up that mountain when he was talking about that. God, in Hebrews 11, it says that Abraham reasoned that God would bring him back from the dead. That's faith. And if he's reasoning that God's going to bring him back from the dead, that shows that in his mind he has already chosen obedience. Devotion is a result of consistently choosing faith and obedience. So inspired by Abram's faith and obedience, we can ask ourselves a couple of questions. One, do I truly trust God with everything? Do I truly trust God with everything? Abraham trusted God enough to leave everything with no solid destination. He trusted God to sacrifice his only son, believing that God would provide an alternate, or that even if he did go through and God didn't stop him, that God would raise him from the dead. So I think that's a very good question to ask ourselves as we reflect on Abraham. We see the power. And Abraham wasn't perfect. Abraham had some shortcomings, and we read about some of those. But those are only a few. When you take the big picture in mind, you can see Abraham who constantly chooses faith and obedience. And that will result in devotion to God. There's no doubt about it. So we should ask ourselves, do I truly trust God with everything? What are we holding back? What are we holding close to the chest? What are we holding from him? Because that will keep you from being fully devoted. That will keep you from experiencing the blessings and the promises and the plan that he has for you, because you're holding back. Another question based on Abraham's example is, do I truly revere God as my Lord above all else? It is clear that Abraham revered God as Lord above all else, and that is a major factor between faith or doubt. Between choosing obedience or choosing disobedience. To truly revere God as Lord above all else will end in faith and obedience, listen to me, every time. Every time. And consistently choosing faith and obedience results in being devoted to Him. Jesus once said, Matthew 6, He said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Let's write this down. Anything less than seeking Him first cannot be called devotion. Jesus sets the standard high. This is what He expects. To seek Him first, to seek His righteousness first, and to call ourselves devoted, it means giving nothing less. Pray with me. Father, thank You so very much for these many examples that You have left for us in Your Word. It wasn't just one person. It wasn't just Your Son who was perfect. It was many people that showed faith, that showed the choice, that showed devotion. Father, I pray that You would bring these questions to our mind, that these questions that we've taken down in our bulletin, that we would put them somewhere to remind us of these various stories in the Bible, these accounts of history and the relationship that these people had with You. Father, that we would choose exclusive allegiance to You. As Joshua set the example, Father, that we would choose faith and obedience consistently, as Abraham gave us the example of what that looks like. And that we would reflect on Peter. To whom shall we go? That no matter what, that we would choose to follow Your Son. If it's easy, if it's difficult, if it's popular, or if we are the only one. Thank You so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.